This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Coming up at 12, Elliot Shore Parks will be with us. As we're just a couple weeks away from the NFL draft, this is where it's time for Elliot Shore Parks Kuiper to step up and really give us some of his big board and some of his favorite players. We'll get to Elliot coming up at 12. Daily Mock, as usual, at 1 o'clock. And we will acknowledge you people later in the show today. Yes, the YouTube audience. We appreciate everyone watching on YouTube. You can watch the show live 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can watch every show.
You people.
6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday to Friday on YouTube. So check that out. A lot to get to in the show today. The Phillies, do they have a bullpen problem? I say yes. Hugh's not ready to go there. 215-592-9494. Hugh, before we get back to all the phone calls and the Hughes Clues guesses, I did mention the draft is coming up, and something's like in my head because I keep seeing it.
Right? We it's
do
bothering
the,
you.
Yeah, well, yeah, we do the Daily Mock at 1 o'clock every day, and there's a few times there's been a theme, and I get it. There's a million mock drafts out there, and everyone's trying to be different, so you're going to have something unique once in a while. But something's been in my head. I want to get to that in a second. First, though, let's listen to A.J. Brown, end of the season. He's on his podcast tour after the Super Bowl. What he said about the Eagles' offense and what they need to do in this upcoming season.
You know, we don't know who's going to be the OC yet, but, you know, there definitely going to be some changes. You know, we have to change. You know, we just won. You know, everybody has the film on us.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
We got to adapt, you know. So, we're not afraid of that. We've been doing that each and every year, but you know, this time it may have to be a little more drastically, you know, but you know, it's a part of the game. It's a part. That's what we do it for.
All right. So AJ, their end of the season, they have to change. They hire Kevin Petullo. I think there's a thought process here. They're probably going to throw the football more this year, maybe a little less to Saquon just because all the wear and tear last year. I get all that. But Hugh, twice in the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it's been, we've done a daily mock, and the Eagles have selected in those mock drafts a wide receiver. First, it was Luther Burden out of Missouri. And then a couple days ago, we had the Matthew Golden wide receiver out of Texas. And I went home after the last one, and after, you know, Al Davis Jr. over there, and you're saying, yeah, this will be
baby.
Awesome. It'll be cool. He's fast. And I'm saying to myself, yeah, these players might be good, but it's insane for the Eagles to draft a wide receiver. They just lost half the defense that won the Super Bowl. They have hundreds of millions of dollars invested in A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. They don't throw the ball that much anyway. And they have a running game that is top of the league with Saquon and Jalen as part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it would be crazy to draft a receiver in the first round. Now, could they use an upgrade on Dotson at some point? Sure. I mean, late third, fourth, fifth round, whatever. Get another young receiver. But first round, I would be upset if they drafted a wide receiver in the first round. Hugh, where would you come down if the mocks end up right and it ends up a wide receiver 2 weeks from now?
I would not be upset.
Mm-hmm.
Allow me to long talk just for a minute. No.
An 11 o'clock long talk?
Well, see, because this is
That's
where
late.
I feel.
I know. It's usually 10.
This is where I feel that I have to explain to people where my mind goes. Because a lot of times I feel like when we think about certain things and we hear certain things that any of our beloved sports teams do, we tend to do it with more emotion than actual logic. And the way that I look at it is this. Everything that you said is true as far as last year was concerned. When you talk about how the offense was anemic and it wasn't leading the way like I anticipated it to be the year before when we talked about averaging 30 or some odd points a game.
And to be clear, they were a good offense, but it was the run-based.
It was not, it was a run-based offense. And you look at them going to get Jahan Dotson because they knew that they needed a third receiver, mm-hmm. right? So Jahan Dotson was good in a small sampling size during the playoffs, but – When you talk about one of these young receivers, a young receiver from Texas that you're talking about.
Golden, yeah, Matthew Golden.
4.29 in the slot. You're putting talent around your quarterback to allow him to spread his wings and be better. You know, the defense led the way. I can't deny that. Cannot deny that, and I'm not trying to deny that. But I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to say it where people try to understand what I'm saying. Defense is a luxury, not a necessity. Oh. And I'm going to keep saying that because it's the truism. When you look at the number of snaps that are played by offensive and defensive players, on average, there are more offensive players getting way more snaps per individual than there are defensive players because they rotate those guys more and they're more expendable. That's why you talk about when Vic Fangio was talking about the guys that he lost, it's like he lost some starters and some rotation guys because they are the ones that rotate the most. When you talk about offensive players, offensive linemen don't come off the field. Quarterback doesn't come off the field. The receivers, for the most part, they have different packages, but A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith really don't come off the field a whole lot. So that's where all your resources, that's where the tip of the spear, if you will, that's where all your resources are allocated to, is that side of the ball. So I'm not upset or would be mad at the Eagles if they added more firepower to that offense.
See, it's that I get what you're saying, and I get the idea of adding more firepower. I just think it'd be a resource they don't use enough. Like, to me, they don't use the third receiver here, even if it's – they've had different ones, right? They had Quez Watkins with 2022. Mm-hmm. Last year was Jahan Dotson. It could be Matthew Golden, whoever they take in the first round this year. To me, they don't throw the ball. And I don't know if this is because he has A.J. and Devontae, if it's just Jalen Hurts and where he likes to throw the football. Since Jalen Hurts became the quarterback, there's been some years they've run it more. I would say 2021, 2022, 2024, they ran it a lot. 2023, they threw the ball more, right? Two years ago, the defense wasn't as good. They threw the ball more out of necessity. And yet still, I'm going to look it up right now. The third wide receiver, how many targets that guy got. This is 2 years ago. That guy then was Zacchaeus, right? Olamide Zacchaeus.
He was pretty decent.
He had 20 targets the whole season. Yeah. They don't throw the ball to this player.
This guy, this how I look at it, Joe. And walk with me a little bit when I describe this.
I'm walking.
Because when I look at defenses and I look at offenses, like offensively, like say if it's the Eagles defense that I play with, we matched up well against most offenses because we had three corners. We had Al Harris. We had Troy Vincent and Bobby Taylor. And we had Brian Dawkins, who was hella versatile. Mm. And Carlos Emmons, who could cover the tight end. Like you're talking about, as far as personnel goes, there's not too many teams that we matched up with that we couldn't cover in a man-to-man situation because of those four guys or five guys that I talked about right there. So now flip that to the offensive side of the ball. And when you talk about the Philadelphia Eagles, we already know A.J. Brown's a threat. And he has to, even if he has a quiet game, you're not about to leave him one-on-one. Then you talk about Schmitty in the receiving core. And you have Saquon Barkley, who's a threat out of the backfield. Now, if you add another receiver in that is Matthew Golden kid that runs a 4.2, there's not too many teams that has a linebacker or a corner that's going to match up with a 4.2 slot in the slot position.
I get it. Look, they could get a good player there. I just don't think it makes sense for their team. I'm looking at their depth chart. They don't even have a backup to Moro Jomo at one of the defensive end spots.
No, yeah, they're gonna replenish the ranks with the young cats.
Right, but this is their biggest asset. We know they're not spending this offseason, right? That's come and gone. So their biggest asset to use this whole offseason is this first round pick. And if they use that on offense, I just think like it's crazy. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. Right now, Tristan McCollum, Bryce Huff, and Moro Jomo are starters, and we want to get a third wide receiver when our top two guys are star players, and we don't even throw the ball to that guy.
Look at it like this. Okay, say, for instance, if the Eagles, drafting at 32, have a bunch of defensive players that they have earmarked at that position that they want, that warrant that pick. Because that's what we're talking
about. Yeah, that pick, the 32nd pick.
What if all of those guys are gone that you feel warrant that pick at that position? What if they're all gone?
So you're saying the value is on the wide receiver?
Yes.
He's the best player on the board.
Yes, the value shifts. Because when you look at the draft board, Joe, you have the guys that you like that will probably be there where you're drafting. Mm-hmm. And you have guys slotted that are better. They might be better, might not be a position of need, but they're better than the guy that is left that might be the pick that you get at 32.
I'm going to give you a Hugh Douglas answer. You ready
What's
for
that?
This? They got to avoid this problem and trade up if they see that
see,
coming.
See, now that might be the case.
Because I can see what you're saying. Like they have six guys they like, defensive tackles, ends, rush, pass rushers, whatever, and they go 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, and they're like, uh-oh.
And then here's the best receiver.
Matthew Golden, best player on the
best
board.
Best player on the board right now. See, that's how you have to look at it.
I know.
It.
And in that case, then it might be logical. But I'm saying, Howie, you got to read the room and you got to trade up for a defensive
player.
Because
think about it like this. And the reason why I want to use this as an example, because I was there, you know, in Atlanta. And I remember when Terry Fontenot, he had the first pick in it. Was it the first pick in the draft? When Matt Ryan was gone. No, the fourth pick. I'm sorry. The fourth pick.
I know where you're going with this.
And I was on the air because that's the year that, Trey Young? Was it Trey Young? No, was it Justin Fields? The quarterback for Ohio State.
This is the 2021 NFL draft, I believe.
And I remember I was bullish because Matt Ryan had just left. Matt Ryan was leaving. And you had the fourth pick in the draft.
Yeah.
He went to Georgia first. And he was an Atlanta Falcons ball boy.
So the draft went Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, and then Atlanta was on the board.
Yes.
At four.
And they picked Kyle Pitts.
Yeah. It was a terrible pick.
It was and Kyle Pitts is a hell of a tight end, but guess what, people? He got a quarterback.
Well, they also passed on Ja'Marr Chase and
yes.
Penei Sewell and Patrick Surtain and Devontae Smith
yes.
and Micah Parsons.
And I remember
terrible pick.
And then not only that, fast forward to this last draft. They went out and gave Kirk Cousins a ton of bread. And then they turned around and drafted a quarterback. Mm. And now they're sitting there with a backup quarterback that's making $100 million.
Sometimes you get stuck.
I mean, like, so you don't want to be – I say all that to say – you don't want to put yourself in a bad spot.
No, I agree. You don't want to take a player just to take a player. Then that's maybe what that team did. All I know is – I can't walk out of day one with a wide receiver in this defense that looks like it is, and I'm okay
sure
with
you
it.
Can.
No, I can't. I can't. Maybe you can. All right, so I mean, go ahead. You're obviously all wide receivered up.
Well, a wise man once said that defense in the NFL.
No, don't do it.
Is a luxury.
No,
and not a necessity.
Don't do it.
See. He starts. Kyle's starting to understand
no,
what I'm saying.
He's just drunk on wide receivers.
Not necessarily. I'm sort of messing with you, Hugh, because I totally disagree.
No,
at least
you
with
agree.
The concept of what you're saying. But I'm resigned to the reality that this defense is not going to be as good as it was last season. It's not going to be number one carrier team to a Super Bowl win type of defense. I think it would fit the Eagles best, suit the Eagles best, to go into this draft with that number 32 pick, because like you said, it is the best asset they have this offseason. Mm-hmm. If they want to get an immediate contributor, I don't think that's along the defensive line. Those guys, I think, take a few years to get, you know, really integrated into a defense and flash. Like Nolan Smith took a while. Even Jalen Carter took a couple years. If they're trying to go win back-to-back Super Bowls, there's no position really they can draft on the defense that I think is going to impact the defense in a significant way, right, to propel them back up to number one. I think they need to double down on this offense. The offense, by necessity, needs to carry this team next season if they're going to be good. And I understand that the third wide receiver doesn't get too many targets. That's because Jahan Dotson sucks. Dallas Goedert, I mean, we see when he's in the offense, he gets targeted a lot. The Eagles are trying to get rid of him. So they're going to have a little bit of a hole in the middle of the field there. I think if they had this guy.
That's a fair point. Then maybe next year the third receiver takes the Goddard.
He'll matter
targets.
More. Yeah. And I don't trust Jahan Dotson to be that guy necessarily. So I think if they use that number 32 pick on a wide receiver who's runs a 4.29 or whatever, like that to me has more immediate impact on the team next season, where I'm trying to win back-to-back Super Bowls, than a guy who's going to rush the passer off the edge or a guy that's going to rush off the interior. I just think it's that, like, it's almost a luxury pick at 32 for me. They can go sign another veteran safety somewhere else to fill that role, and then they can draft a wide receiver who's going to add another dynamic element to the offense and maybe, you know, put it over the top. Because, by the way, we can't even trust that Saquon Barkley is not going to have another 2,000-yard season.
Not.
They're
probably
going
not.
To not only need to rely on their offense, they're going to need to rely on their passing offense.
Well, yeah, they could.
To carry that.
And they do have two great receivers here. And they, you know, you're allowed to draft a receiver in the fourth round that pops. I mean, look at some of the receivers last year. The McConkey kid. You could draft a receiver in the second, third, fourth round, and they play well. I'm not against another receiver. They could upgrade over Dotson. I'm fine with that. I'm against a first-round receiver. You guys have like, lost that.
I guess to me,
because I have vision.
Well, that's right. Hugh is a visionary.
I have vision. Knows,
you're on this guy's side on this. You realize how far you've fallen here with
well,
this?
Well, so look, I guess the way I think of it is, if apparently it's a very deep defensive line and edge class, right?
So maybe get one of those guys later?
I do think the Eagles need to add to that position, replenish it a little bit. But if I'm already not banking on a guy to come in and contribute immediately along the defensive line, that's where I feel a little bit better about grabbing one in the second round or the third round, because he's going to need some time to come along anyway.
Yeah.
A wide receiver at 32 in the first round, I feel better about coming in and making an immediate impact.
Yeah, I get it. All right, 215-592-9494. I understand the arguments here from both these guys. I just think everyone here has lost their mind if we're drafting a receiver at 32. Can we hear from Ray Didinger? Can we hear from a true football guy, Ray Didinger, on the Eagles' needs as we enter draft season here in Philadelphia?
What is your sense of the biggest area of need for this football team?
I would say edge rusher. Safety is, you know, I would like to go get a safety too. And you obviously want to fortify your offensive line. And the good news is there's some good players there in all of those areas. So that's good. But I think edge rusher, I really do.
See, Ray Didinger gets it. We got to go get defensive line, edge, safety. We got to fortify the defense that we lost so much on. Not another wide receiver.
I was going to say something, but I don't feel like being laughed at right now because I'm being so
No, please
serious.
Do.
No, go ahead.
By all means.
We won't laugh, we promise. We promise.
You should have saw the look I just gave Joe. We still got Bryce Huff. You can probably work
out. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
See, come on, man.
See, I'm not laughing.
Why do you have to do this to me?
Now. I'm angry.
When I take your side, you can't make me look like a fool.
I'm angry.
The Bryce Huff thing.
My God, take it so personal.
You're laughing at yourself. See, this is the problem.
It's because you're cutting our argument out from the legs.
No, listen.
When you had the Bryce
Huff
thing.
Because I'm trying to
Bryce
cover all
Huff.
Angles. He's not a bust yet.
Oh, my goodness.
I gave him another season, man. He better be.
Okay, no, did you see him in the team photo at the Super Bowl? He was the kid in class who didn't participate in the group project. He got the A.
You know what he was? He was that kid that had a whole bunch of late, he was not in school, missed attendance.
Yep.
But they're going to let him graduate anyway.
And he knew deep down he'd have earned it. He knew it. All right.
I ain't supposed to be.
215-592-9494.
Wise man once said.
Yeah, no, stop that. We got to, that to me, that's a four letter word. Okay. We got to dump that. Big V and Mount Laurel. What's
Big
up, Big V?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you
good
doing?
Good morning.
Hey, Big V.
Hey, listen, I'm really loving X's and O's Hugh today. You know, really doing his thing with the analysis of what they're going to do and what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because you got to have vision when you think about this kind of stuff, man. You got to have vision.
I have vision of the ball being thrown over Tristan McCollum's head when he plays. That's my vision.
Well, let's stick with right now the football.
Okay.
I don't think we'd be upset if the Eagles pick another
wide receiver,
because it does give Jalen some more weapons.
Oh, yeah, because he sure needs more weapons. They haven't surrounded him with two of the best receivers in the league and the best back in the whole league. Not enough.
Well, they have, but we're also looking at, you know, these guys coming off the Super Bowl. Everybody's already studying them. A new receiver with a new take, a new angle, a new twist, that really helps us out. It also lightens up the load on Saquon, so maybe he can. It'll be easy for him to get that 2,000 yards of this year. But
How are we stopping anybody on defense without players out there?
Oh, we're stopping people on defense just by giving them the meme mug.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Just look at them.
This is Super Bowl syndrome right here. This is what it looks like.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. So, I mean, defense is a thing, but I'm not worried because I think Fangio is really good at developing talent. I think Howie is really good at picking talent. And I think Nick is really good at yelling at the talent. So I think we'll be okay.
Big V, where do you come down on the Phillies bullpen? We got a problem here?
No. See, the problem that we have is right now, Joe Giglio. You want everything right now. You don't want the Phillies to lose one game. I mean, really, when you're going to have sex with your wife, you don't have 4 points.
No. Big V, stop. Big V, stop. What are we doing?
You can't.
I mean, unbelievable.
I mean, like, what are we doing here, people?
Can't go there, man.
I mean, like, there's a line. And the worst part is he thought it was a good analogy. He didn't think he was crossing the line.
I knew he was going, but y'all ain't that cool. He don't know you like that.
I don't.
he can't be bringing the wives up in this thing, man.
I thought
it was a good analogy, though. It was on his way to being one. Well, but I get it.
It's a very Hugh-like analogy.
Yeah,
just,
I mean,
you know,
it is.
No, but I think,
time and a place.
Joe, like, we ain't that cool.
No, we're not doing that. But I think you would, at least if you went there, you would have cleaned it up a little bit.
I would have cleaned it up. I wouldn't have said it the way he said it. But I get what he's saying, because, sometimes you can't wait. You just got to go for what you know.
What does that have to do with the Phillies bullpen?
Well, he was basically, I'm assuming the analogy was like, you know, you just don't get right to it. You know, it's a little bit of a warm up.
Tanner Banks is a warm up?
Well, he's trying to say that, you know, you got
it,
to warm up.
Yeah.
You know, this team ain't warmed up yet.
So these are good relievers that are not warmed up.
Well, they're flirting. They're bantering back and forth now.
See, I knew you could do it better.
Yeah. He just went straight for it.
And he could have used a vague analogy, not explicit. I mean, Jay, I mean, come on, man. All right, let's go to who we got. We got Jake and Delco. What's up, Jake?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Jake, what's up, buddy?
Nothing much. I don't know if anybody picked up on it there. There was some major shade thrown at Hugh by you, Joe, a second ago there. We were talking about Hugh's take, and then you said, all right, let's hear from a true football guy, Ray Didinger. Well, I was like, wow.
So I meant they
throw shade every day. Well, what's the difference?
So Jake, you did pick up on it, and here's why. Because Ray understands defense matters. Hugh used to understand that, and he's gone off the defense.
Listen, I understand that you're worried about me, but I'm not worried about them, man, because listen, I tell you what, they just don't see what I see.
No, you had Kyle on your
vision.
Side today, and then you brought Bryce Huff back into the conversation.
Well, I'm optimistic. Don't be mad at me because I'm optimistic.
I'm not mad. I'm concerned.
Why is he so optimistic? Everything going to be all right.
I feel like that was worse than the shade that Big V threw at Joe. It was just done in a more veiled manner.
It was outrageous.
You know what
that
I mean?
He thought that was appropriate.
He's crazy. I mean, come on. Big V, just, we can't do that. Go ahead, Jake.
It was a lot. Hey,
so as far as the reliever situation, I feel like it's, say, like, something catches fire in the kitchen, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, it's a small fire early in the season, small fire. We can put it out ourselves. And the next thing you know, the whole damn house burns down when you should have called to the fire department, meaning going, gotten somebody to bring in and help with these guys instead of just trying to put the fire out yourself, which is making the guys better that you have.
This is an analogy that I could get behind because, yes, maybe perhaps I am smelling smoke that's not there and I'm a little too concerned on April 9th, but I'd rather do that than Hugh, who's in the other room, like, nah, it's fine. Meanwhile, the kitchen is in flames.
No, man, I'm not going to do that. It's not.
I don't know.
He didn't take the pledge seriously.
Now, seriously, this is what happened to Jake. The water in the kitchen is running, and I forgot.
Yeah.
So it's not that serious. It's not like I had the sink plugged in or anything. The water's just running. I forgot.
I think you left the stove on and you left the house.
Definitely leave the stove on.
It might be okay, but it might come back and it's not okay.
No. Not yet.
It's fire. It's not water.
Yeah, this is fire, this bullpen.
But no, I'm saying it's not fire yet. It's not fire.
Oh, and real quick before you let me go, I have a theory on what happened in the outfield last night.
Okay.
Rojas, he saw what Edmundo Sosa did, which he's normally the one who's getting the big headlines on making a catch like that. Rojas saw that, and then when that play came, he's like, all right, man, you're big and bad. Why don't you catch it? That's what happened.
So he left him out to dry, basically.
Yeah.
What was the benefit for Rojas to do that, though?
Ego.
Exactly. Just for a selfish, you know, cut off your nose and spite your face kind of thing.
Seriously?
Well, I think he's kidding.
Yeah.
No, he might. You're kidding.
I'm kidding.
He sounds serious.
Jake, what do you got for us for a guess for Hugh's Clues? Hugh's favorite sports figure.
I got one clue. It's one of my favorite sports figures. That is so broad and vague.
Yep.
If you were listening, it would be easy. I mean, because all the context clues are there.
Mm-mm. I was busy workshopping my metaphor. Sorry. I'm gonna say Muhammad Ali.
You know, that's our Somebody second that. Muhammad Ali guest, Jake.
Oh, because he's black
it.
And I'm black, huh? That's what it is.
Well,
kind of messed up. Like I don't like white people. Or
are
something.
You saying Jake just you people do?
No, I'm just he really kind of did.
No, but hold on.
Well, the fact that he guessed it after like yeah. We've had after two guesses so far, it, and both yeah. were Muhammad Ali.
Maybe you should stop workshopping those rough, little quips and listen to what's being said.
To defend the Muhammad Ali guesses. He is pretty famous and important in sports history. It's not like he's not a run-of-the-mill person.
No, but I'm just saying, why we always gotta go with the black guesses first? Like, why is that? Why we gotta do the black guesses?
I just think maybe people thought you liked Muhammad Ali.
I mean, I do.
Yeah.
But I like everybody. I'm all inclusive. We are all inclusive on this show. We're all inclusive.
The person who says you people every day is inclusive?
Yeah. And I just think when I say you, I just think it's funny. Because immediately, if somebody's never heard that, what do you think? What does he mean, you people? Yeah. What is he talking about? is he talking about?
He's talking about me? 215-592-9494. Your phone call's coming up here. Do the Phillies have a bullpen problem? Is it too early to say? And would you be upset if the Eagles took a wide receiver at 32? I would. These guys want a receiver. Plus, a second clue for Hughes Clues and a veteran defensive back lobbying hard to come to the Eagles. You hear that next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Makuna Matata, gravity praise, means no worries for the rest of your day.
No worries.
Kuna Kanishi. I can't even know these words. I got to learn the words.
You got to rewatch the movie, and then you'll nail it.
I don't, but see, people get, I don't understand why people get upset because I'm not panicking. Like
well,
a lot of fans.
Because
no,
it's annoying.
That you don't see
is that what
we
it is?
See. Yeah. Like, all right, so imagine.
Hey, Kyle, I respect that. It's
don't you know what on my head and tell me it's rain, buddy.
But it's not that serious yet.
Well, okay. Oh, you're right. You're right. But
we're
imagine,
being proactive.
Imagine
here.
If
we're being proactive. we're being a bunch of Sean McDermott's
That's
around
right,
here.
Proactive.
Imagine if you were walking across a sheet of ice. Like it's a frozen pond, right? We got a frozen pond here. And you're like, I'll make it across. And I look and I say, there's a big crack there, Hugh. We probably will make it across, but that's a crack. And you say, no big deal. I'm just pointing out there's a crack. The bullpen is not very good right now.
Or
here we go.
You could look at it like this and say, hey, you know what? Not a bad night on the one of those winning nights, but there's room for improvement. Rome wasn't built in a day.
Yeah. Usually
Rome wasn't built in a day.
Cracks don't just fill themselves.
Well, you got to get some caulk.
Yeah.
You got to caulk them things.
I'm going to caulk ice?
Yeah. You're not ice. I'm thinking about another analogy. But you start from a set point.
Yeah.
And then you build off of that. Like, I wouldn't expect this team to be the team that we're going to see 3 or 4 weeks from now. You know, it's funny because I was talking to you in the break. Delaware State's their spring game is this weekend. Mm-hmm. I got a chance, and it's unfortunate that I'm not going to be able to do it because I got to get, you know, the baseball season starts for my son, and they got the, you know, the parade or whatever, and I got to be at that. But I was excited. I was excited to see where they are now as opposed where they were a few weeks ago. Because when I was talking to the kids, I told them, I said, this is not the finished product. Because when they were out there, the defense was making a whole lot of mistakes. And they were yelling and screaming at each other. And I told them, I said, man, that's not the way you want to handle these things. Because it's the first few days of practice. Nobody's going to be perfect. You have to uplift one another. Mm. And that's kind of where I'm at when it comes to this. It's not what you look like now. It's not what you're going to look like during playoff time. Hopefully you've worked out all those kinks. And you're in a position where the bullpen is lights out. And 1 through 5 is terror for anybody that's facing these pitchers. That's what you want to do in this lineup, the way that it looks like it could potentially be. You want to be hot. You want to be, for lack of a better analogy, you want to be what the Mets were.
Sure.
When we played them in London and we beat them and they got hot and they rolled that all the way to the playoffs.
Yeah. What's frustrating to me is not that they're not great now. It's I don't see it. Like I don't think they have enough good relief pitchers. Like I don't think these guys are going to wake up tomorrow and be good. Like Romano might just not be that good. I mean, this happens sometimes. You take these 1 year guys on and you hope they're going to have a big year and then they go to free agency. Then sometimes it happens. Sometimes you get a dud. I mean, I don't think they have enough good relief pitchers and they got to fix this. And what's frustrating to me is it was pretty obvious all offseason. Like that. I remember when they signed, we were on the air when they signed Romano, and I remember our reaction was like, all right.
Pretty good.
But they got to add to someone else, and then they never did. Like, he was their big free agent relief pitcher, and so far, that's not looking great.
Well, I think because there's a belief that, you know, Andrew Painter is going to be either one of the starters in the rotation or a bullpen, or he's going to be in the rotation and somebody's going to the bullpen. So this is that's kind of how I look at it. This is one of those situations where there's still some moves to be made. This is not the end all to be all.
Yeah, they could have reinforcements coming, but I don't know when those are. 215-592-9494. Are you ready to call the Phillies bullpen a problem? Four games this year, they've basically tried to blow. They just have ended up winning three of those because their offense or their defense. Last night was not one of those nights. They lose that game. It was tied when the bullpen came in, and it went haywire from there. And, of course, the Eagles, would you be upset if they drafted a receiver at 32? These guys in here, I mean, you too, with the offense and the receivers.
I wouldn't be mad at a receiver. Not the one that run a 4.29.
Goodness gracious. We're trying to... Let's go back to the phone lines here to keep my composure. We got... you know what? Before we do that, Hugh, can you give the people another clue? Well, your first clue obviously
was great.
Did not get the job done here, as we have a $100 gift card to give away to Sunoco gas stations here. 94 Octane is their gas that you could get, and you get any of their stuff. $100 gift card to Sunoco. All right, clue one, your favorite sports figure. Clue two.
You know what? This one might be even a better clue. Because y'all know me, if you've seen me around these parts on the YouTube, you people, and all the good stuff. This individual has a unique fashion sense.
You do too.
Yeah. Yeah, and I kind of gravitate towards that. You know, doing his own thing, marching by the beat. Hey, so that was another clue. It's not a woman.
How about that? This is four clues you've given away in 2 hours.
Yeah, because I'm tired of the folks complaining about my clue.
People have realized if they complain at you give more clues.
I throw them a little bit of a ball.
It's pretty easy. All right, let's go to...
That was more of a slip, though. Yeah. I didn't mean to do that.
Let's go to Rob Adelko. Hey, Rob.
Hey, yo, what's up, Joe? What's up, Hugh?
What's going on,
Rob?
Listen, Hugh, I want to give you a compliment, Joe. I'm going to throw you some shade, Joe. I'm going to come at you.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember, Kyle ripped me a little bit too, beer muscles back there when I was talking, when I sang my little bone song yesterday.
Yeah, it was brutal.
Brutal. Listen, Hugh.
Yes.
A couple of the ladies I work with heard me on the radio, okay? And they're like, they know who you are. No offense, Joe, but like, they know you was a former Eagle and a player and this and that. And they're like, oh, wait, he liked your song or he liked you? I think he said you liked me as a person more than my song, but that kind of gave me some street credit work.
Oh, okay.
Wow, you gave him street cred.
Yeah.
That's pretty, I think
street
that's pretty
cred
cool.
For the song?
Yeah, well, no, for Hugh, Hugh liking him.
With the ladies, Hugh.
He got the Hugh seal of approval.
Yes, I guess, you know, it worked out well for him.
Yeah.
I guess, Rob, it worked out for Rob.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought it was pretty good, this song. I thought it was pretty creative, to be honest with you, but you know, I can't say. You didn't think so? The bye-bye
I cannot wait till little Kyle gets here. It becomes a thorn in Kyle's side.
He's going to be a problem. He'll be a problem.
He's going to be a
can have a red honey.
I appreciate you. You know what I mean? I might help you with the ladies a little bit more than you think, so I appreciate that.
Oh, no, I'm here. I'm helping everybody else.
That's why Love Doctor made it to the Final Four right there.
Lord knows you need it.
You missed that one. Rob missed that one.
I heard that. I heard you. The beer muscles behind the screen here, Hugh. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So what do you got in the Phillies bullpen, Rob?
Oh, come on. Steer
back to the show.
Everybody loves Romano. I mean, he's going to be all right. It's a couple. We got to give him a little bit more. We gave, you know, Emilio Estevez last year time, and he stunk when we acquired him from the Angels, right?
Carlos Estevez, yeah. Emilio, just Carlos. Yeah,
I was like, wait a minute.
I'm just being funny here, you know what I mean?
threw me off a lot.
I would rather have Emilio out there than Estevez throwing the grand slam pitch to Lindor, because that was a meatball. Go ahead, Rob.
Of course it is, Joe. Everybody can see it. Listen, it all comes back to Dombrowski. I don't know if he's got the orders from the top, you know, from Middleton guys, where he's like, you can't spend anymore. So he's got to go after these bargain basement one-year type of guys. It's the same thing for the last several years, right? We haven't had a center fielder, right? I'm going to give you another prediction. We're going to get Crawford. Crawford's going to come up earlier than expected because what the hell do we got to lose?
Rob, three hits last night for Crawford. He's starting the year pretty well down at AAA.
I don't care if he's not ready. I'd bring him up today. And he would be in that line today for me. I know it's unrealistic, but really, what do we have to lose, honestly, guys? Come on. I mean, what do we have to lose? I blame Rojas 1,000,000%. You know why? I don't care if Sosa was yelling, you. I mean, I don't care what he was yelling. You know, the thing is, did you see where the ball landed? It almost hit him in the foot.
I know.
Stick out your glove at the last second.
Yeah, that was the most egregious.
Ultimately, he's got to take charge there, and he knows that. I'm just saying, Sosa's first day out there, pipe down. If you're not calling the ball, you're not supposed to be yelling out there.
It can't be a language barrier, right? They both probably speak Spanish.
Yeah,
he was
saying yours in Spanish. So Rojas, I think the problem was he probably didn't hear him well, so he just assumed whatever he was yelling, he was calling for the ball. But yeah, he was yelling yours in Spanish. So I'm guessing Rojas didn't hear him clearly, because otherwise he would have understood what he meant.
We agree he's not a major leaguer, Rojas, right? He shouldn't be on the team, right?
Well, that's you. That's Hugh's guy.
Oh, wait, that's not your... I'm not going to guess Rojas
in the end. So, is Rojas a major leaguer? He's a bottom...
That was a bonehead.
He's a bottom of the roster major league backup outfielder. That's what he is.
He's not even that. He's a triple. He's a lifetime guy that'll come up when a guy gets hurt for a couple games and then you send him right back down. You know what I mean? That's what he is. He's terrible. I mean... And listen,
well, the issue is, and this goes back to Marsh, if Marsh was better or Marsh was an everyday player, we wouldn't have to roll the Rojas thing out there 3 days a week, but Marsh isn't that good.
Listen, I got another one. My favorite Marsh, you know, he can go too. He's another one. These experiments got to go. You got to go out and get me a closer. Enough of this bargain basement committee stuff. Get us a closer and get us a center fielder or bring up the kid. Everybody else brings up a kid, right? A 19-year-old kid. A 20-year-old kid. Why do we have to wait until he's Ryan Howard and 25 years old?
Well, we don't. Yeah, I mean, if someone's ready, get him up here. All right, Rob, give us a guess. Hughes Clues. Who's he talking about?
Now, I had to guess, but he didn't give the second clue yet, did he? Or was it just that first
clue? He did. No, he
way
gave,
to listen.
He gave
good
the
job.
Second clue.
Do not give Kyle fodder.
Yeah.
Kyle, I love you, buddy. You're the best producer in the world, Kyle.
Do not
You're on a speakerphone, too,
what,
by the way.
What, top of mind, what's your clue? What's your guess?
All right, I'm going to go with LeFraud James. How's that, LeBron James?
All right, did you hear him take himself off the speaker? I called
James.
Him.
Yeah, you did catch him. Did he start that way? Or
of
he,
course he
yeah,
did.
Come
he
on,
always
Rob.
Does that to me.
Rob, we're better than that.
LeBron James.
Yeah. Not it?
No.
Not it. You do like LeBron, though. You seem to be
no,
more
pro-LeBron okay.
than anti-LeBron.
LeBron,
no.
Well, it's...
Yeah, Kyle's the anti-LeBron one on this show.
Can't
Why
say
don't
it.
You like LeBron?
He's a fraud. He's such a look-at-me guy. I can't take it.
I mean,
I can't take it.
You can't help but to look at him since he's been playing basketball. He's been that dude now.
That's fine. I understand he's a great player. He's just, I mean, he just bothers me.
Yeah, I mean, he's so
performative. It's like, let me stay in this game where we're up 20 so I can break this all-time record nobody gives a crap about.
He's very self-aware.
Let me get in little old Stephen A's face and not actually do anything. Just to show everybody that I mean business.
Are we done with that story now, or are they still rolling through those?
No, well, look, if you're Stephen A, you milk that thing for months.
You're talking about running for president after that.
I got an email yesterday. Ready for this?
Uh-oh.
I got an email yesterday on the odds on Stephen A's presidential running mate in 2020.
Who is it?
Eight?
Shannon Sharp?
The favorite is Shannon Sharp at 25-1. So we could have the Smith-Sharp ticket, okay? Second was Charles Barkley at 33-1. Third, I'm rooting for this one, Christopher Russo, 33-1.
Hold on, excuse me?
Christopher Russo.
So is he going to run against Stephen A?
No, he's his running mate. Vice President, Christopher Mad Dog Russo. Skip Bayless, 33-1.
Oh, these have to be jokes.
No, but this is the email I got. Sean Hannity, 50-1.
Sean Hannity?
Yeah, Colin Kaepernick, 100-1.
Oh, my goodness.
Kyrie Irving, 100-1.
Wow.
Michelle Obama, 250-1. And then we threw Hillary Clinton in there at 500-1.
So might as well.
If you're wondering where the Stephen A. presidential run situation
gotta
is.
Gotta tell you, after that tweet from Skip,
yeah,
he might get my vote if he were to run.
A Skip and Stephen A. Tiggett would be off Luca the
looking
walls. Would we do politics on the show then?
If they're, they're oh,
no,
I mean, we'd have to. Right.
Wait. But if Stephen A. and Skip are running for president together?
Yeah, why not?
They're sports guys.
Rod'd be okay with that.
Yeah, well, we just wouldn't ask him. Let's go to Mark. It's Yelp Funds. What's up, Mark?
I can't believe that'd be a ticket, but the reality is, I love Hugh. I mean, I bring whiskey to him.
But let him hear it.
But there is no way we need a wide receiver. Just imagine what it would do to Brown. He'd come unglued if he saw passes going someplace else. He already has an issue with it sometimes.
That's a good point, Mark, right? They only throw the ball so many times anyway. So now you're taking some of those targets away from AJ. He's not gonna handle that well.
See, Mark, and I appreciate the liquor that you brought me, but Mark, you have to take a little bit deeper dive. If they take a wide receiver, what do you think that says? That one of those guys is probably expendable in a couple years. So you're always drafting. Like, I was always told this, and I'll never forget it. Mark Ross used to say every time I said, "Who are you looking for?" When I was an Eagle, he said, "I'm looking for your replacement," because that's what the NFL is. And once you understand that, then you know you understand why getting a receiver, or you could better understand why if they took a receiver, why that was okay. Put it like this, Mark: the year that they took Jalen Hurts, I was like, oh, second round pick.
You know, my first thought was Carson's on the clock.
Because you have to look at it like that. And as a former player, you can't get upset about it because that's the nature of the beast. I remember when we drafted Derek Burgess, Andy Reid called me. He said, "Hey, man, just want to let you know we're not drafting your replacement." I said, "Yes, you are. It's fine." I mean, because that's the nature of the beast.
Now, the audience might laugh at this, but I mean it. You are a little bit more mature and self-aware, and I think you even were then than AJ. I'm not sure AJ would think of it like you do.
But you,
I think AJ comes. Yeah, you're right. AJ becomes discombobulated a lot quicker than most people would, and I just can't see them
mature.
You know, they got to get lanes replacement. They got to get.
I don't know what happened.
Replacements for everybody they lost. I mean, I just, you know.
I know we need defensive players, Mark. These guys are killing me. This is unbelievable.
Absolutely.
All right, Mark, what's your guess for Hughes Clues? Who's he talking about today?
Dennis Rodman.
That's a good guess.
That's a good guess.
That's a good guess. Mark, appreciate it. Dennis Rodman was absolutely one of my – he was one of my favorite athletes growing up. He was awesome.
I was at a card signing show with Dennis Rodman. Dennis Rodman is different.
That's the perfect way to describe him.
He's still different. He's different. He marches to the beat of a different drum, and he's different.
You know, he barely played any basketball until junior college. Barely played, and basically taught himself to be the player he was. I mean,
the worm was no joke, man.
And I think because of his his personality, demeanor, look, people almost downplayed how great of a player he was. He's the best rebounder I've ever seen, especially for his size. And he was an enormous defensive player.
And he was a gritty player.
Yep.
He was a gritty player.
I mean, everywhere he went, they won. The Pistons, the Bulls.
Who was it he was going up against in the finals when they were going at it? I can't remember
Karl
who it
Malone?
Was. Karl Malone? Was Karl.
And few people could cover Karl, and he did.
Yeah, he had Karl frustrated, too.
Yeah, he was a great, great player. Tom in Middletown is up. Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, Tom. What's up?
Listen, Joe. I wanted to just sit here and relax and stretch my back all day and just enjoy the show. But you've made so many different things that I have to call now.
What did I do?
Okay. Now, Rojas,
you got a list.
Rojas is the man in charge. He's a center fielder. He should have called that ball, and that ball should have never dropped. I mean, Sosa... Okay, yeah, he's a rookie out there in the left field. But Rojas is the center fielder. He's in charge of that ball. He had clear view of that ball. And I don't care about miscommunications or whatever. Rojas has to call that ball off. It's mine.
I agree with you, Tom. And he erred not doing that. But once he hears Sosa, the outfielder's not supposed to say anything unless he says, "I got it." Not "you got it." It's "I got it." So it's a road game. They're both running after the ball. There's a crowd behind them, and Rojas hears Sosa yelling. So I understand why he's like, maybe he's got it. Let him have it. If he thinks he's got it, it's his first game out there. Let's not collide into each other. Now, he could have called him off. Like, I agree with you. But yeah. Sosa, that happened yesterday more because of Sosa's inexperience than Rojas. Like, Rojas has played center field for years. He's good at it. Yesterday, he made a mistake, but the mistake was because he's got this guy next to him screaming for no reason. Like, Sosa has to learn, and I'm a Sosa guy, but he's got to pipe down. If he's not calling the ball, he shouldn't be talking.
You understand he's only in left field because we have to find a place in the order for him because he's
hitting so well. Of course, but if he's in left field, he's got to play the position appropriately.
And he did make a fantastic play in the first.
He
inning,
did.
So,
he did.
Yeah. I mean, so
right, but that's more of an instinct play than a a fundamental play. Like that's the difference.
But that is Rojas's call all day long, and there's no blame else to put on other than Rojas on that call.
Yeah, we see it differently. All right, Tom, you got anything else I drove you crazy with today, or is that it?
Your propensity of you do not want to draft this wide receiver. Mm-hmm. You understand? We lost a lot of defense. You're not going to replace that in the draft and be effective this year. So we're going to have to be an offensive machine this year. Okay, so I would rather have a 4.29 speed out on the field as a slot receiver. He's not a wide receiver. He's in the slot. Another weapon? You got to be kidding me.
What about defense? Did we forget about that?
It's a luxury.
Well, defense is a luxury right now.
You guys are killing me.
Okay, so now listen. But even if we draft defense players now, they're in really. I don't think they're going to be an impact for like a year or two.
We just did the Quinion Mitchell, Cooper DeGene, and Quinion Mitchell. They were instant impact. Instant.
You are correct there. You are correct there. But we could do that in the second round or whatever. But I'm saying when it comes to if we're going to sit on that 32nd pick, you got to take the best available talent available. And if at 4.29, come on, man. You can't pass on that.
Yeah, he's fast. I know. Guy, he might be a really good player. And Tom, I get it. And I know that one has you and a lot of people out there wanting him. All right, Tom, what's your guess for us for Hughes Clues? Who's he talking about?
All right, Hugh. How old are you?
53.
All right, 53. All right. You're from Ohio.
Yes, I am.
This guy is from Ohio. He dresses well. He dresses like a professional golfer. He comes into town once a week. I'm going to say Mike Schmidt.
Mike Schmidt. That's a fun answer.
You were on to something,
Tom,
but no.
Fun answer, not it. He does come into town on Sunday for the Phillies broadcast.
You know what?
He's from Ohio? I didn't know that. I didn't know Schmidt was from Ohio.
Yeah.
Did not know that.
You know what the Sosa Rojas thing is reminding me of? Mm. Remember after, was it the Diamondback series? Rojas made the last out at the plate.
Yeah.
And people were mad at Rojas. But less so. Like, my whole thing with that was, we should be more upset with the guys who are paid big money, whose responsibility it is to put runs up on the board, and not the guy Rojas, who we shouldn't expect much of.
I know, yeah.
It's like the exact same thing.
Rojas
is supposed to be the guy in charge in center field. Sosa's an experience like that we know, right? If you want to put it on Topper for putting him out there, then I could get with that. But it's not on Sosa for being inherently inexperienced.
Can I give you a quick analogy? You're right. But let's say you were out for a day, Kyle, right? And sometimes Kyle will talk in our ear when we're not talking. He'll say something to one of us, like you had a read coming up or something. And we had someone else producing. And while Hugh's talking, that person talks in his ear. Hugh's still a pro and he shouldn't melt down. He's hosting every day. But I could see why he's like, I'm confused. You're talking in my ear.
Well, so
that's part of it.
Well, I guess I think I would flip this analogy the other way. Say it's somebody who's in Hugh's chair for the first time. And I'm getting in their ear, and they get flustered by it. That's probably something where I'm like, maybe I shouldn't do that. They're not used to being in that position.
I get it. Ultimately, Dave Dombrowski built a team with a center fielder that can't hit in Brandon Marsh. We got to put Rojas in there 2 days a week for his defense. And we have a left fielder who's never played left field before because Kepler's a platoon player. Maybe we should look at him, too. He's part of this. 215-592-9494. All right, Elliot will join us next in studio. His take on this with the Phillies, the idea of the Eagles taking a wide receiver at 32, and all your phone calls coming up. Plus, we got to get a winner for Hughes Clues on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know, Taste the Cake has a treat for every Joan. Peanut butter fans have candy cakes. The chocolate-coated cakes with creamy layer of peanut butter inside. You like the simple classics? Crimpies are a light sponge cake topped with rich icing. Donut lovers, you guys have options for days. You get frosted mini donuts, powdered mini donuts, and who can forget the delicious dipping stick flavors? I mean, they're so uniquely satisfying treats to choose from, so many of them. There's no surprise that Tasty Cake is the best. Accept no substitutes. Tasty Cake.